I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Welcome to Cybercrime Radio's Women in Cyber, where we'll explore what it's like to work in one of the fastest growing industries in tech, why your background isn't a barrier to creating a successful career, and why it's so crucial we get more women into this field. I'm here today with Sayako Quinlan, professional services consultant at CrowdStrike, a leading cybersecurity company on a mission to stop breaches. To learn more about CrowdStrike, visit CrowdStrike.com. Welcome, Sayako. It's so nice to have you with us today.
Hi, Hillary. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So to start off, Sayako, you have a background in cybersecurity and teaching, spending time at Microsoft and Georgetown University prior to joining CrowdStrike. Want to start off by sharing with our listeners a little bit about your career and what led you to where you are today and in your current position?
Yes, I'd love to. I'm currently a consultant in incident response at CrowdStrike. I've been with the company for 2 years and started off as a strategic advisory consultant, which I would say is the cybersecurity equivalent of a business management type consulting experience. This is actually my first job out of college. So out of Georgetown University, I'm relatively new in my career. And while I was at university, as you mentioned, I had those opportunities at Microsoft as well as the think tank New America, where I worked more in cybersecurity policy. And it's been a really exciting transition moving from that more liberal arts type experience and work to what is now very technical. I do digital forensics and incident response, and my day-to-day job looks like helping clients respond to nation state and e-crime incidents, a lot of ransomware. And in that job, I'm looking at Windows disk images, doing disk forensics there, and looking at network logs, a lot more technical and the type of work I couldn't imagine, but I'm thoroughly enjoying these days.
That's awesome. That's so great to hear. And very, you know, different from a liberal arts like you shared, but really, really interesting, the technical side of things. So with that, you talked about some of the topics you work with on a daily basis, but what are some others that you deal with on a daily basis and, you know, your team and things like that?
Definitely. On the technical side, we're also doing the malware and, you know, light malware analysis, and we'll hand it over to our intelligence team. I personally am also trying to keep up to date on what's going on in the environment, in the cybersecurity environment, in terms of different threat actors and different geopolitics. That's really tied into that international relations background and interest. There's also the people side of things. We have clients coming to us in times of dire crisis, and me and my teammates are always using those soft skills that we have to help people get through moments where they're either very frustrated because they're unable to bring their business back online, or they're really scared because they haven't dealt with a security incident before and don't have a grasp on what the realm of possibility is and what could happen to their organization or what has happened.
That's really insightful. So there's almost like a bedside manner to it.
Yeah, definitely. And to me, that's some of the most rewarding. I know to some of my coworkers as well, who are the more people types. You know, I think in cybersecurity, there is that stereotype of the more introverted, very technical individual. But right. We do have some very extroverted folks. And I do identify as that. I guess I am that. And we love that, right? It feels so good to help people. And we hear it either through, you know, their voice on the calls that we have with them, or on the, you know, sometimes we have the Zoom screen, you can just see them a lot more relieved. And that means a lot.
That's great. And that ties in nicely with the next question. You mentioned, you know, it feels good to help people. So why does cybersecurity matter to society? And then you can kind of tie in also, why does cybersecurity matter to you personally?
I love that question. It actually reminds me of how I first got into this field. I entered Georgetown as an international relations major. We don't have that major specifically, but it was under the School of Foreign Service. And my university was hosting a conference titled the International Conference on Cyber Engagement. As someone who grew up in Silicon Valley, I always had that interest in tech and always did well in my science and math classes, and definitely love those STEM courses. I went to that conference and was just amazed at seeing these officials from NATO, as well as from different countries, the UN, talking about how the world of the space of cyberspace is a very common term that they use, is equivalent to how the high seas were during the age of piracy, and that there weren't much rules of conduct, and nation states were acting and really setting the standard in their own terms of how we can conduct ourselves in the digital space. And that's why I think cybersecurity is really important, because if we do equate this to land of no laws, that puts at risk a lot of the different types of activities that we do in that field. So for example, like digital commerce, protecting the great developments that and great innovation that's been enabled through the internet and things like that. And I think that is why it's so critical for society that we take cybersecurity seriously. And I think it's really interesting in the time that we are right now to see how different parts of the world are addressing that. You have countries like Russia and China treating cyberspace kind of like territory, right? Mm. Like this is our network.
Right.
And we're going to come up with a plan to segment us off. And then you see areas like the European Union where concepts of data and their beliefs on how you need to protect consumers from corporations, how that's translating into a digital economy there versus us in the US. I think our ideas of data protection or consumer protection are different. And so you see different types of legislation and the aspect of our federalism, right? California is leading that front in terms of data privacy rather than the federal government. It's these questions that we've had to deal in other spaces being translated to the digital world. And I think it's so fascinating, and cybersecurity plays such an integral role in that.
Absolutely. And you said something that I want to build on. You said that you always did well in science and math and STEM courses, and having grown up in the Silicon Valley area, you're probably exposed to more tech than perhaps others across the nation. So why does encouraging women to work in tech matter?
Oh my goodness. I always think of that study where girls in school excel in maths and other technical subjects until they hit about middle school.
Right.
And then you see this switch. And I think it's so important because we provide, just as other aspects of your identity, provide a holistic differentiator in who you are as a person. Your gender provides a differentiator in terms of how you view things than people of a different gender. It's just part of this cumulative, facet of identities that makes you who you are. And I definitely see that, for example, within CrowdStrike Services, me and some of my other female or women coworkers, we have just a different way of approaching some issues than our male coworkers. And it's not to say one is better than the other, but having those different ideas just makes it all the more valuable.
And so, since it is so valuable, and that is such an important conversation that we here and then many others are having, how can we, as women, how can we pursue STEM fields? You know, maybe extending beyond that point where we start to, stop wanting to pursue them in the middle school years.
Oh, another amazing question. I think the number one thing is the barriers we put for ourselves. I fully acknowledge that the way society is right now, there are barriers that we don't have, that we aren't in control of, but there are also the personal barriers we have. The no's to questions that we're not even willing to ask other people, that we, cut off before ourselves. And I have experienced that personally. I'm guilty of that personally. When I was first making that transition within CrowdStrike, moving from that strategic advisory consulting role to incident response, I gave myself so many reasons why I couldn't do that. And thankfully, I had peers who were males, male colleagues that told me, no, there's no rule saying you can't do that. There's no rule saying you can't volunteer for an incident response project. There's no rule saying you can't practice on the different training courses that we have. Go for it, volunteer, wait for someone else to say no. Don't say no before you even ask. And that's been huge folks who have given me those opportunities have then let me prove myself. I remember the first incident I had gotten on, then Slack went out saying, hey, we have a case, we need an analyst. And immediately one of my peers who had played a major role in ramping me up in the forensic side and my forensic skills messaged me in all caps, volunteer, like, you know, message so-and-so. And I had that quick, like, no, I shouldn't, but I shut that down, volunteered, and I'm going to own that. I rocked that case. I found like the initial fish. I dove through our intelligent reports, found a renamed version of bitsadmin.exe, which is a legitimate binary, but can be used to do malicious activity. And that led to the initial infected system, and then got to look through that user's inbox and find that initial fish. And it was all the more rewarding to see that combination of a peer mentor pushing me, but then me proving myself when that opportunity was at the table.
Another insightful answer, and actually sort of answers my final question, but I'm going to ask it anyway in case there's anything else. So you shared some advice from some of your peers. Is there any other advice you've received that you would want our listeners, and, you know, primarily also our female listeners to know?
Yeah, especially for folks who are interested in breaking into this technical field, the value of having a public blog or other, perhaps like a YouTube channel where you're walking through a lot of these technical facets, I think is so incredible. I think for us as women in particular, we sometimes are hesitant, and I've noticed this in other spaces that I've been in, hesitant to have information about ourselves public. And there's so many reasons behind that.
Right.
And you see what just happened with Gretchen Whitmer and how scary this world can be.
Yeah.
And the threats we face as all humans, but, you know, I think women are particularly keen to those. And I've seen it in my national security spaces that I'm in, you know, discussions we've had around, you know, I want to have a public professional persona, but I'm really afraid of what threats I might get, or having too much of my information out there because of my family.
Right.
All these other aspects. But I do have some coworkers who have that public persona, and with the proper security mitigations, we in the cyber world love multi-factor authentication and doing open source intelligence on yourself so you know what's out there. I think that can be really beneficial, and that's personally something I want to take advantage of more. I have a coworker who's hasn't had to ask for a job for, I think, her past 3 or 4 opportunities because her presence on LinkedIn and Twitter have allowed people to be reaching out to her.
Mm. I think that's really good advice, and helps paint a really good picture of sort of what to weigh as you think about building your brand, basically, if you're pursuing a field, this field, but then other fields as well. So I think that that's really beneficial. Thank you.
Mm. Yeah, you're welcome. The second piece of advice I'll throw out there is often overused, but mentorship. And what I like to put a spin on for that is that mentorship can look in so many different ways. I think especially those of us who are earlier in our career, we expect it to be some formal program that either our university or our company provides. But what I've found in my career is that non-traditional forms of mentors have been incredibly valuable. There was one mentor who, she, like me, is also a woman of color, and has provided that, a woman of color in cyber too, provided that level of understanding and guidance that perhaps my other mentors would not be able to. And I met her through a friend in college because she was his mom.
Oh, that's
and it
cool.
was really unexpected. Yeah. That I mentioned earlier on the call, but the peer mentor, someone who's your same level of experience, a teammate perhaps, who has the set of skills that you want. That peer mentorship has been great, especially in my initial steps of learning about digital forensics and incident response. The last mentor mentor archetype I would mention is one that's not in your direct chain of hierarchy, but perhaps on a team that you want to move to. There is a director at CrowdStrike who helped staff me to that first incident I talked about earlier, and he's been great in advocating for my skills and having full faith in me, even when I haven't. And those types of mentors are really great because when they have that level of confidence in you is when you really push yourself out of your comfort zone and get to grow.
Excellent. Well, Sayako, it's been so great speaking with you. This was a great episode of Women in Cyber. So we are just so happy to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all putting this together and giving our voices visibility.
Our pleasure. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Sayako Quinlan, Professional Services Consultant at CrowdStrike, developers of the Falcon platform, the industry's first cloud-native endpoint protection platform. To learn more about our sponsor, CrowdStrike, visit crowdstrike.com. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.